You turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, chapter 5 and 6, or verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
We continue our study that we began this morning. The best compliment ever. Let me ask you one question as we begin tonight. Do you typically spend more time on your personal appearance than your practice of godliness? Stop and think about that. Do we typically spend more time each day on our personal appearance than on reflecting Jesus intentionally? I don't ask that question to make you feel bad. I ask the question because I think it's easy for us to get distracted by secondary things that have their place and to invest more time in them than on a relationship that will take us into eternity. Do I spend more time on my personal appearance each day than I do on my practice of godliness? Quickly reviewing a few things we examined this morning. The more you truly see of God, the more of God should truly be seen in you. The more you truly see of God, the more of God should truly be seen in you. And then notice this, nearness to God ought to bring likeness to God. We looked at two passages this morning, both about Enoch. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 was just read for us. And Genesis 5, 21 through 24 was read this morning about how Enoch walked with God. Tonight in Hebrews 11, how Enoch pleased God. That's really what godliness is all about. Seeking to walk with God and to please God. We use this, and I'm going to mention it briefly, and then we're going to move on to some new material, some additional material. But when we talk about godliness, godliness is about devotion. It is a devoted focus in our relationship with God. A devoted focus in our relationship with God that leads to attitudes and actions that please Him. I ask you to repeat that with me this morning. I'm going to ask you to do so this evening too, because if we can get that in our heads, it'll help us to want to reflect more on the Lord by the way we live. So, godliness is devoted focus in my relationship with God, leading to attitude and actions that please Him. One more time. I'll start slower. Godliness is devoted focus concerning my relationship with God that leads to attitudes and actions that please Him. We talked about 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus being books that we typically think of as preacher books, and they are to a big degree, but really they're just books about godliness and serving the Lord. And what's interesting is this. The expression godliness occurs about 14 times just in those three books. And we looked at about five of them this morning. That means we have some ground to keep looking at. And when you look at the ones that are up there, you know, especially 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, exercise yourself to godliness. Train yourself to godliness. There's the whole idea of intention and really wanting to reflect Jesus and to show Him in our lives as our Lord and Savior. And then how godliness is profitable for all things in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5 now. Let's look at another passage as we work our way through Timothy and Titus and what these books say about godliness. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, notice verses 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. And this is speaking of those who are widows. And when you look at these particular verses, it says that if a widow has children and grandchildren, they are to show godliness to her, and that this pleases the Lord. And really what the whole idea is found in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. One that provides not for his own is worse than an infidel and is denied the faith. If we have an older relative, as family, we have a responsibility to that individual with needs. That's what the text is saying. Family members have a responsibility toward widows, those that have sons and daughters and grandchildren alive, and that the family of this lady should look at the opportunity as being one to show godliness to a loved one. The text goes on to say, this pleases the Lord. Godliness is not just to be talked about, it's to be shown, especially to those who love and serve the Lord. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. When you look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3, the Word of God says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine, teaching that does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine that accords or conforms to godliness, there is a standard that teaches us about godliness, the doctrine that conforms to godliness. The words of Jesus, the doctrine that conforms to godliness. It's to be stressed, it's to be emphasized. Now go down just two verses and look at 6 and verse 5. As we highlight through 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, these occurrences of godliness, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 5 speaks of false teachers. And the context in 1 Timothy chapter 6 kind of lets you know that. When you look at verses 3 through 5, it talks about those who are conceited and they know nothing. It goes on to talk about people who have this morbid curiosity about controversy and quarreling about words. And what Paul does by inspiration here is magnificent because he tells us something about the motivation of people who will play fast and loose with God's truth. It says, they suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Do you see that in verse 5? They suppose that godliness can give them the opportunity to make a buck, to enjoy the good life. And I kind of want to bring this out because when you talk about godliness, sometimes the word has to do with piety. That's a word we don't use very much. Or it has to do with being religious. It's still not all that uncommon for people to be religious in our country today. It is becoming increasingly uncommon to find godliness. In James 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." We're talking about the standard of Jesus and reflecting Him in our thoughts, our words, our deeds. Now look, if you will, at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. The Word of God had said in 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 that godliness is profitable for all things. But when we get to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, here, Paul, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If a person really wants to reflect Jesus, there can be a sense of contentment there. A contentment that surpasses any other joy we derive from other things. And you know, the idea of becoming like Jesus is a process, isn't it? It's ongoing. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I remember when I was a little guy. My mother is here, and she'll probably remember this. We were in California, and I was just little. And my aunt was making pancakes. And they were the best pancakes I'd ever had in my life, y'all. I think I was about 8 or 9 years old at that time. And I ate something like 13 or 14 big pancakes. You know, little guys can do something like that. Only to later say, I can't believe that I just did that. I remember my aunt very sweetly looking at me and saying, "Mike, would you like any more pancakes?" And about that time, all the butter and all of the syrup and all of that greatness was really hitting me. And I looked at her and I said, "I don't even want the ones that I've already eaten." Sometimes that's how life is, isn't it? Contentment. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Look at verse 11. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, the Bible says that there are some things that are to be run from. We're to flee from that which is false teaching. We're to run from the love of money and motivations that are unworthy of a person that wants to belong to Christ, that wants to reflect Jesus. But when you look at 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, not only are there things from which we must run, flee from, take evasive action immediately, there are matters that we are to pursue. And the text says, pursue righteousness and godliness. See that in verse 11? Pursue righteousness, and godliness. If you remember police programs of the 70s and 80s and 90s, law enforcement was always in hot pursuit. Hot pursuit of the bad guys. We are to pursue, to race after righteousness and godliness. The same type of attitude that we ought to have in running from unrighteousness and ungodliness is to be taken the opposite direction, and we are to pursue righteousness, godliness, love, and the like in verse 11. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes as Christians, we can really be known for what we're opposed to and what we stay away from. But I suggest if we're going to let the Bible speak, that's only half the story. We need to be every bit as diligent in what we pursue as what we run from. And maybe more. 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, pick up at verse 1. The Spirit expressly teaches that perilous times will come in the last days. Times that are stressful and difficult to deal with. By and large, that's been true throughout history. There have been times that have been more stressful and more difficult for the people of God. But when you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look at verse 5, here is one of the things to really catch on to. He says that people in these very difficult times will be characterized by having a form of godliness but denying its power. Mark it. There'll be a form, but there won't be the substance. There'll be the outward display, but there won't be the inner reflection and motivation that ought to be there. It's so important that we talk about reflecting Jesus. And I believe that elders ought to be commended any time they want us to think more about our relationship with Jesus. And our elders are doing that with this upcoming class. And if you haven't thanked them, please do. Because our relationship with Jesus must not be something that has just a form but denies the power. It needs to be inward and outward. It needs to be real and genuine. Having a form of godliness but denying the power. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's just going to be a barometer of godliness. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. When Paul writes 2 Timothy, he's in prison and will only be released by dying a martyr's death. The Lord that Paul loves so much he suffered persecution. We need to stop and think about our own lives. What do we suffer as we seek to reflect the Lord that we love, the Lord that we serve? All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Young people, think about that. Older people, think about that. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Much like 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3, the truth that accords or that conforms to godliness. The truth, sound words, healthy doctrine, healthy teaching helps produce godliness. Healthy teaching helps produce godliness. Last passage. Titus 2 and verse 12. Titus 2:12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's grace teaches us or instructs us to negatively deny ungodliness and worldly lust, positively live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world to reflect Jesus. To reflect Jesus. Ask Karen to help me with the slides and the PowerPoints. Thank you, Karen. And at the end, I said, I want you to find something that will convey the idea that godliness is priceless. Godliness is of infinite value. And she found this picture of a treasure chest at the bottom at the floor of the sea. I'm so glad that I don't have to look at the bottom of the floor of the sea to find real treasure. All I have to do is look at my brothers and sisters who seek to reflect Jesus. Amen to that. And everywhere we look, we're going to see people who are trying to pursue what's godly, even though they're struggling, even though they're going through difficulties, even though they may feel kind of persecuted. There's treasure in the body of Christ because we see godliness. Please pray with me. God, thank you for this day that we could focus on a great theme, the theme of being like your Son. God, may each day make us more godly. May we put more time into being intentional about godliness. And God, may we realize that each day brings us one day closer to being with you forever. How great and awesome and wonderful you are. May all of us, while we live, pursue godliness. All to your praise, all to your honor, all to your glory. We pray through Jesus. Amen.